Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
I don't want us to be church people. I want us to be the people of Jesus, right? Not just doing this church thing. Sometimes church is like a club, right? If it is, it's the most boring club on the face of the earth, right? I don't want it to be a club, okay? We have to be very, very careful. And when Jesus came along, his light in the midst of the darkness was just too much for people to handle.
Every year brings a new challenge for those in student ministry. There's always a new app or cultural shift to be aware of, and youth leaders need to stay relevant. In recent years, there has been a shift from young people wanting high production to something more authentic. In today's message, Pastor Jim teaches that as a Christian, you need to evaluate your faith. Does your walk with Jesus look like a performance to those around you, or are you living an authentic Christian lifestyle? Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 7 as he begins his message. Does Jesus cause division?
Well, last week we said that there are many issues that followers of Jesus tend to end up getting in the weeds on. They're debatable issues, but not necessarily essential. There are other issues that are absolutely essential that cannot be compromised, and as they affect eternity. In our section today, we come back to a section that is absolutely essential. Is the fellow that they knew as Jesus of Nazareth, we know as Jesus Christ, is he the Messiah? The Lord Jesus is at the Feast of Tabernacles, while the people tend to divide over different things, and people in churches, if you've been part of that, people divide over all kinds of different stuff because of sin. Jesus divides people because of his holiness. In other words, there's going to be some things, most divisions, I would say, are somewhat sinful, but some divisions are not. And Jesus also divides people because of the gospel. Salvation is not about religion, but faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for his people to save his people from their sins. Now, a lot of people are fine with religious traditions. Do you know any people like that? Christmas is all about what? Santa Claus, right? No, I'm wrong. Yeah, this church needs a new pastor. So religious traditions, fun time, nothing wrong with fun. Food's good, nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people say, well, don't get too serious about it. And so I've entitled today's message, Does Jesus Cause Division? Does Jesus Cause Division? Now, as we go into this text, let's go look at the last words we have from Jesus from last week, okay? John 7, 37 and 38. On the last day of that great feast, the day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, okay, thirst what? For God, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, Jesus says, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Then John added something to us that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit that he would pour out on his people after they had been glorified. But as we will see, some people were not too happy about what Jesus said. But Jesus was not surprised. Let's go to Matthew's gospel to something that Jesus said that some of you may find to be surprising. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37. Jesus says this, Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Did that get anybody's attention? One person. For I have come to set, okay, some versions say to turn, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Now, some of you go like, I'm already against my mother-in-law. I don't need Jesus to do that. Okay? Now, watch verse 36. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, that does not mean you're not supposed to love your son or your daughter or your wife or anybody in your family. Do we understand that?
Yes.
Loving Jesus will make you more loving towards others. Do you understand that? And if you're not becoming more loving towards Jesus, right? Or if you are becoming more loving towards Jesus and you're not becoming more loving towards others, that's a problem. In fact, that's a big problem because Jesus said, if you love me, living waters will flow out. Remember last week we said the living waters come from the outside to us and then flow to the outside to others. And so we want to keep that in the back of our minds. And here's one of the things that maybe you don't want to hear, but for most people it comes down to this. You will either love Jesus the most or you'll love yourself the most. That's the way most people are. But if you love Jesus the most, that will enable you to love others much better. Okay, so today we want to look at two different things. First one we'll probably spend longer on, and then we'll see how we do with number two. Number one, confusion among the people. Confusion among the people. Do you know any confused people? Verse 40, therefore many, or some versions say, from the crowd when they heard this saying said, this truly is, or this really is, some versions say, the prophet. The prophet. Now, people will ask about this. We saw this before. People previously thought Jesus was the prophet because of his miracles, but now it's because of what he says. Now, we've covered this before, but let's review who the prophet was. Deuteronomy 18. There's a few verses about him, but we'll just read one. 1,400 years ago with Moses, God says to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all, some verses say, everything that I command him. Now, this is an interesting thing. Most Bible scholars tell us that at the time of Jesus, the prophet and the Messiah were thought to be two entirely different people. However, while Jesus was like the prophet in that he did speak the words of God, without a doubt that's the case, but he also spoke, okay, for God, but he was also the Messiah. In reality, a prophet more so spoke the words of God, and he would say things like rivers of living water, but only the Messiah could deliver it to a follower of Jesus. So here we see Jesus is both like a prophet, but also like the Messiah. Now, that living water, again, was delivered to thirsty people thirsty for God, followers of Jesus. Now, to be fair, okay, some of the people listened carefully, and they are considering the words of Jesus. And if you are not a follower of Jesus, that's my prayer for you, that you would be listening to Jesus, okay? That there'll be a conversation. We say this often. I'm talking, but we're reading the Bible in between. And there's a conversation that's going on between you and God. That's the important conversation, okay? And so here we saw in chapter 6, the people thought Jesus was the prophet because of the miracles, okay? But the words of the prophets were more common than the miracles that they performed. But these people are probably still not believers. They're unwilling yet to see the Savior, the one who delivers spiritual satisfaction. And we see this today in a lot of people. Do any of you know any church people?
Yes. Yeah.
Church people, right? Church people. Some of us grew up, we were church people. And then when we got old enough, we decided not to be church people. I remember my mother saying to me, don't you think it would be good to go to church every Sunday? I was like, no. No. Yes. Some of you are like, you're a rebellious kid. Yes, I was. Okay. A lot of people give lip service, right, to Jesus as Lord. You ask them, do you believe this stuff? Oh, yeah, I believe. Oh, yeah, for sure, I believe it. But they don't follow Jesus. So if you say you believe it and you don't follow Jesus, do you really believe it? No. Doesn't work. Okay. That's why we typically don't use the term around here Christians anymore. It's just overused word. We often say followers of Jesus because when Jesus called people, what did he say to them? Follow me. Follow me. We come to verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. A lot of versions say Messiah. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Another version says, surely the Messiah does not come from Galilee, does he? Verse 42, has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David? What does that mean? Descendant of David. David lived 1,000 years before him. And from the town or the village of Bethlehem, where David was or David had lived. So at the beginning of verse 41, okay, some people say this is the Christ or this is the Messiah. So it appears some people may have realized as Jesus was talking to them and then the living water that he could give out and stuff like that, and they're starting to realize that this could be the Messiah. Now, is that true faith? Probably for most, not yet. It's the beginning. For most of us, faith is a process. Maybe you've kind of been coming here a couple weeks and you're like, I feel like each week I'm getting a little closer to Jesus. I'm really not understanding this or that. But you don't have to understand everything right from the beginning. But that happens with a lot of people. And it's more like they're thinking kind of like, is this who he is? I mean, is this stuff true? Now, why didn't they just ask Jesus? Did you ever wonder that? Did you know you're allowed to ask Jesus questions? Do any of you ever ask Jesus questions? I do all the time, all the time. And it's funny that the more I pastor and the more I study the Bible, the more I teach line by line, you know what the problem is? The less I know. I just don't know that much. And because the subject, of course, is God. We'll talk more about that in a second, okay? So we do know that they were afraid of the religious leaders. We saw that earlier. But Jesus is open to questions. And for those of us who've been believers a longer time, you determine if that's you, that's what we're here for. We're to help new people. We're here to challenge one another. But we want to teach other people about Jesus. Even today, people talk about Jesus without digging deeper into the Bible. They just don't want to learn. And here's the thing. The Bible is happy to teach you about Jesus. It's absolutely happy, but you got to read carefully. You just can't take one verse and then just like, oh, what's this and what's that? And just give it time, learn. Some people say, well, I read the Bible, I don't understand it. I read a whole chapter, I understood two verses. Great, you're responsible for two verses. Okay, then as you go along, you'll learn more, and that's the way it goes. Now, this describes a lot of church people. Okay, they sit in church and they say they believe, but they have never, ever really received Jesus as their Savior. And some of them are in pulpits. A lot of them are in pulpits. They never really did that. And you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, okay? Are you unsure? You ready? Or are you just rebellious? Which is it? Yes. Unsure, rebellious. Okay, and maybe today's the day. Now, for those of you who've been Christians a long time, what I just said may have insulted you. But those of us who came to faith later in life are not insulted. We know exactly what that means. Okay, I was not unsure. I was totally rebellious. And as many of you have heard me say before, so God has to step on me like the cockroach that I am, okay? Pastor Cockroach, you can call me that if you want, okay? Right? You can call me that, right? Because that's what he did. And maybe for you today is your day. Could be. The second part of verse 41 and verse 42, others are like, no way, he's from Galilee. He can't be from there. Now, way back in Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men came to see Jesus, when he was born, the religious leaders told Herod that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Jesus was also from the family of the line of King David. They knew that, okay? But in their pride, okay, Jesus knew what they were saying. Does it bother you that Jesus knows exactly what you're thinking and saying? Sometimes I like it. Sometimes I don't. Okay? That's the way it goes. Now, many of the people, here's a problem. Many of the people from Jerusalem thought they were more spiritual than others. Do you know the hyper-spiritual types? That's what a lot of the people from Jerusalem were like. And they were like, well, Jesus is from Nazareth. Remember we said that's the wrong side of the tracks. Far away, they'd call him a country bumpkin. Any of you know what a country bumpkin is? Oh, three of you. Okay. So yeah, he's a country bumpkin. He lives out in there and he's not smart enough. He's not religious enough. He can't be our leader. They would be saying stuff like this to people. You're putting your faith in a carpenter from Nazareth? I mean, what are you kidding me? And this is a pretty common reaction to a lot of the people that we meet. Okay, you should expect that. I don't know why we're surprised when that happens. Okay, and now this is an interesting thing about the Gospel of John. He often lets false opinions of people go by without explanation. Now, why would he do that? I think he does it because he wants us to figure it out. He wants us to figure out who are the people who are way off. And again, we know that Jesus knows people's heart. Okay, we can't fool him. And what did the people want back then? We've talked about this before. Most of the people wanted like a miracle guy, but a lot of the people in Jerusalem and the religious leaders, they wanted a warrior king. Remember, they wanted Caesar out. They wanted the Roman Empire out, and they wanted a warrior king to set God's people free. Now, we would look at that and we go, that's kind of silly. That's kind of silly. Really? I think they would look at the American church and they would say, listen, you guys, you want a healthy, wealthy, and happy king. That's what you want. You want a guy who's going to make you happy all the time, wealthy all the time, healthy all the time. What's so different about what you think than what we think? You see, but each generation has their thing they want from God, don't they? Whatever the values of the culture are, right? And we have to be careful of that. Because that may or may not, there's nothing wrong with being healthy, nothing wrong with being wealthy, nothing wrong with being happy, but that may not be all the time. The Apostle John knows, his readers know, because remember John's writing much later after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because it's in the Bible and because soon we'll be singing it. Little town of Bethlehem. Does anybody want me to sing it now? Yeah, no, you don't. No, you don't. Verse 43 and 44. So there was a division because of him. Who's him? Jesus. Now, you say, why do you always ask these questions? Because I want you to think when you read the Bible. Because I want you to read it on your own and ask yourself questions when you're thinking it to make sure you got the right things, okay? Verse 44. Now, some of them wanted to take him. Some versions say seize him. Some versions say arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Now, we know from reading previously why. Because his hour had not yet come. That he's got another 6 months to go until the Passover season when he's going to be crucified. So the division over Jesus continues. Now, here's the thing, loved ones, please listen to me. Why are we so surprised when some people disagree with us? Why? It's in the Bible. It's right there. It shouldn't surprise us that people are like, what, are you crazy? It shouldn't surprise us at all. I mean, the usual things would come out. Talking about this guy, this carpenter from Nazareth, you know, some people are like, you know, he's the Messiah. Other people are like, he's a nut job, right? And you got to deal with these types of things. And remember we saw in previous weeks, what are some of the things that we heard about Jesus? Some people said, he's a good man. Other people said, he's a deceiver. Other people said, he's demon possessed. Other people said, he's the Christ. Those are kind of opinions all over the page, right? And don't you hear those same things today, right? So that's it. And the reality is, he can't be a good man if he claims to be God and he's not. So when people say to me, oh, he's a good man, I go, do you believe he's God? They go, no. I go, then he's a liar. How could he be a good man if he's a liar? But talk to people. And you don't be nasty about it. You just ask people. A lot of people just don't think these things through, and the more they start to think these things through, a lot of times for people it starts to make more sense to them. Now, one of the things we have to deal with these days, and the internet is unmasking a lot of them, and, you know, part of it's really good, actually. There is so many dishonest pastors these days, fleecing the flock, okay, taking all their money, right, trying to do all that. right? And so we try not to do that here, okay? Right, when the text is about money, I'm going to hammer it, but when it's not, we don't, okay? And stealing from the people of God, some of you have been suffered at the hands of abusive pastors. They've just been very abusive to you, okay? Again, many of you have experienced that. Now, for me, I'm very thankful for two things. Part of me wishes I went into the ministry earlier, but on the other hand, I was a convert for 15 years before I went into the ministry. And then Pam and I were at a conference from my old church that we went to, and we were talking to a couple about going out to start a church, and we moved up here. We didn't know anybody. You know, first service, 7 people. 5 of them had my last name, okay? What a congregation, huh? And so we were, you know, we just came up here. But for me, I think the 15 years of seeing stuff in the church, and then I kept a business, one of my businesses I kept to feed my family, that was very helpful because the money thing was not a temptation for me. And I know that a lot of guys that just get very, very greedy, and so we need to be really careful of that stuff. But for Jesus Christ, it seems to me the Israelites had lost the God that they claimed to worship, and how easy that is for that to happen if we're not careful. We do. Listen, I'm not trying to be a troublemaker, but I don't want us to be church people. I don't want us to be church people. I want us to be the people of Jesus, right? Not just doing this church thing. Sometimes church is like a club, right? If it is, it's the most boring club on the face of the earth, right? I don't want it to be a club, okay? We have to be very, very careful. And when Jesus came along, his light in the midst of the darkness was just too much for people to handle. It was just too much. And here it seems that Jesus is stirring up trouble more so not between people, but in people's hearts. And people's hearts are so trying to figure out who this guy is that it's causing division between the people. You know, and after now we've been doing this for 20 years, I've come to the conclusion after meeting so many people who out in public who've left our church, you know what's the number one reason people leave our church? Jesus got too close. Can you believe that? He got too close. And I'm like, what is that? And they go, I could sense that you were talking to me, but there was another conversation going on. And it just got too close. And I don't want anybody to tell me how to live my life. So what do I know immediately? They're not a Christian. And so I'll try my best to talk to them. Some of them have come back. If you're one of them, you're here. I'm not picking on you. Okay? Many people hang on to one or two verses that they misunderstand. What do we say around here? Context is king, right? So we often have to look at the context of the passage, or they are content in their own opinion. I mean, just imagine that. How many people do you think are going to meet God and going to say, well, you know, just didn't agree with you, God? Do you think that's going to happen? How many of you ever heard of the honeymooners? So there's this guy, Jackie Gleason. How many know who Jackie Gleason is? Did you know my uncle bought his summer house? Yeah. So I walked in the same halls as Jackie Gleason. There was a gated community. I asked the guy, I said, what was it like? He goes, oh, debauchery. Right. Some of you don't know what that word means. Look it up. Google it. But at any rate, Jackie Gleason, sometimes he would be like a hamina, 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 hamina. Right? That's what it's going to be like when you meet God. You're not going to be like, well, I disagreed with you, God. You're going to be like, hamina, 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 hamina. Right? You're not going to be able to tell God that. That's not going to happen at all.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.